supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Planet hunting season has been extended this year. Let's train our telescopes with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, and truth be told, the season has been extended indefinitely.
Indeed it has. It's big game hunting for the Kepler spacecraft in our galaxy, at least anyway. It's looking among the stars of Cygnus, has been since 2009. And we've just looked at the last bit of data that was collected between 2009 and 2014, and the number of objects that Kepler has identified as potential candidates is now over 4,000. Of those 4,000, 2,335 are verified as planets, and that now includes another 219 that were just announced this week as actual, real exoplanets orbiting other stars.
So let's hone in a little further. How many of them are rocky, like planet Earth?
As it turns out, in this last bunch, 10 of them have been identified with a really cool word that I like as terrestrial. Terrestrial as opposed to Earth-like. Well, terrestrial means that these are rocky objects. These rocky objects are within the habitable zone of their star, which means they're at a distance from their star where water could exist as a liquid. And last but not least, they're near the size of the Earth. Now, we distinguish terrestrial from Earth-like because in this case, we're not talking about Earth twins, and we're not talking about planets that seem to have atmospheres like Earth. We don't have that much information yet to make that sort of a stretch.
Of course, a true Earth twin would be the stuff of science fiction, though it is possible that there could be other forms of, dare we say, life on one of these terrestrial objects.
If we can find a big number of Earth-like planets that have atmospheres that are viable for life as we know it, then perhaps life could arise on one of those places too, and maybe even slightly different from what we see here. But we're so deep in the realm of speculation, it's hard to see our way back to the top.
Though with a confirmed sample size of now more than 2,300, do we know what percentage are terrestrial versus gas giant?
Well, interestingly enough, one of the things to come out of the most recent data gather is that the picture for the type of planets there are in the solar system divides neatly in half. 50% of those planets seem to be planets that are a little larger than Earth, like what we might call a super-Earth-type planet. And the other planets are planets that are more gaseous planets, up to the size of Neptune, like our Neptune in our solar system.
Smaller than Jupiter or Saturn.
Smaller than Jupiter or Saturn, yes, not that big, but not rocky like Earth either. So finding planets that are like Earth seems to be dwindling down. That chance seems to be dwindling. But at least the door is open to consider that that's a possibility.
Also dwindling down since we spoke last is, dare I say it, the amount of daylight.
Here we are, 1 week after the first day of summer, and we're already talking about the loss of daylight. Well, we're okay for right now, because for the week between the first day of the summer solstice and a date that's coming up very soon in early July, we're sort of hanging around now at the 15-hour mark. That's 15 hours of sunlight. Sunrise at 5:32 in the morning, sunset at 8:32 in the evening. But beginning next weekday, we'll start to lose minutes of daylight on the sunset end, and we'll start to lose minutes of daylight on the sunrise end. It'll start slowly at first with just a few seconds, and then it'll begin to ramp up. We'll begin to see the difference really in the sunsets coming a little earlier in about 2 weeks.
So there's an aberration date ahead in August when it will truly get dark earlier than expected.
Indeed it is. This is a strange one, but it should be a lot of fun for viewers all across the United States. The Monday, August 21st, total solar eclipse passing across the United States. This will be the first time in 99 years that a solar eclipse has crossed the entire United States. There are lots of various ways to say that. It's been 38 years since there was a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse in the U.S. In this particular instance, first time in 99 years that it completely progresses across the entire U.S. And there's another solar eclipse coming up in just 7 years in 2024 that's in the U.S. as well. Do you think you might take a trip to stand in the shadow of the moon? Well, if you're thinking that, you need to make some arrangements right now. Hotels have been booked up in some cases for 2 years for just this date, so that's out. So what are your options here? You can get to the Path of Totality in just 12 hours driving by going to South Carolina. That's not so bad.
If you're traveling south and the car breaks down in North Carolina, are you completely out of luck? And if you can't leave the Philadelphia region, is there anything to be seen?
Yeah, that's a really great question. If you're not on the eclipse path, you can experience a partial solar eclipse. The farther you get from that Path of Totality that comes across from Oregon, across the Midwest, and heads off the coast of South Carolina, the farther you are away from that line, the smaller amount of the sun that will be covered by the moon, the less of the total eclipse events you'll experience, but you can still experience something of the event, so that'll be possible for people all over the country as long as the sky is clear. Now, for us here in Philadelphia, what do we have? Well, our maximum here is going to be 79%. It's about 80% of the disk of the sun will be covered by the moon.
Seems like a lot.
Seems like a lot, but it's not enough. You really need the entire disk of the sun to be covered to have that total experience. And that 20% of the sun that's still visible, well, it's going to be extremely bright. So what we'll actually experience is more like what will be a partly cloudy few hours. That's what it will seem like. We'll be doing lots of stuff at Franklin Institute, so you can come join us as we're outside on the parkway and around on our new side street, Winter Street, where we'll have plenty of activities happening there. But if you're looking for more information in the meantime, you can find it at our website, www.fi.edu/eclipse. All kinds of information, maps, weather forecasting, equipment to use, how to photograph it. All that stuff you'll find on our webpage.
You just saved me some work. What is the weather forecast for August 21st?
Beautiful. Absolutely stunningly, gorgeously bright and beautiful.
Perfect. Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.